Welcome back, real estate rock stars. Y'all know there are some big changes happening in the world of real estate. And when big changes go down, there are two people that I want to hear from. They are David Green and Aaron Amuchastegui. And so guys, today, that is our show. I got David and Aaron to come on and they are sharing their thoughts on what is actually happening with the NAR rulings versus just the clickbait news titles, you know what I'm saying? And more importantly, how we can interpret what is going on to best prepare. We dig into scripts to overcome objections that you might already be getting from your clients on the buyer side, on the listing side, predictions for the real estate industry as a whole, and much more. Our two stars today are super well known in our industry, but just in case, we have David Green, the co-host of the freaking Bigger Pockets podcast, the number one largest podcast for real estate investors worldwide. He's also written 5 books for investors and agents. He's a team leader. He's a lender. He's a straight talking badass. And we have none other than Aaron Amuchastegui on the show. He is the owner of the Real Estate Rockstars podcast. He's flipped 1,000 homes. He owns 850 doors, and he's one of the hosts of the King's Table podcast. Y'all stick around to the end for some life and business updates from both of our guests. And with that, Rockstars, please welcome Aaron Amuchastegui and David Green. Gentlemen, we've had some breaking news in the world of real estate and agents nationwide are freaking out. Rumors are flying. So what actually happened?
Dude, freaking out is what everybody is. But I kind of was too. So some of it's news, some of it's non-news or what we were expecting. But I think a lot of people didn't expect this to happen for a while. So there was, some record-breaking big commission lawsuits that we talked about on here that every lawsuit, every website had been talking about, every podcast had been talking about. But a couple months ago, what everybody said is like, okay, so now that lawsuit happened, but now it's getting settled and now it's going through appeals. And so we're going to be dealing with this for a couple of years. So nothing's going to change for a couple of years. And that was a lawsuit. First, it was from buyers, then it was from sellers saying that prices were artificially, raised for housing because of, locking in commission prices. And we did lots of podcasts about the legalities behind that. And actually why I thought it was like probably legally valid, even though I don't like the answer, of how they got there. So we already did some of that, but the big surprise. So like Friday morning, 9:28, National Association of Realtors starts sending out emails to everybody. And this was the announcement that people started forwarding me in their emails and talking about. And it just said, hey, the Sizer Burnett verdict and the copycat cases have raised a lot of questions. And it said, now we are entering into a settlement with the plaintiffs. And so, which was big news because before they had told everybody, hey, we're going to appeal this. And the letter is a long letter from the NAR that essentially said why they didn't appeal it, why they would have actually had to file bankruptcy to be able to appeal it if they really wanted to properly, kind of how they came up with the reasoning for it and what that settlement is. I'm going to name just a few things that it said in that I think are important. And I'd love to hear what David's been thinking about it. And I think what agents are reaching us out to us is they're asking us, what's going to happen? What do we predict can happen? Or what do we do? What are your recommendations for a buyer's agent? But part of the settlement, and it should be noted too, the government, the Department of Justice hasn't approved the settlement yet. And they are hoping the Department of Justice does. Because really, the DOJ would like to totally decouple commissions and make it illegal for two of these settlement things to not even be part of it. So when I get to those, I'll explain the ones the DOJ actually doesn't like. But they're hoping that they take it. So one is just a release of liability. Any office that did less than $2 billion in sales is going to have a release of liability. So if David sold a house 4 years ago, now somebody can't come back and sue him for it because of the commission thing. So that was big, a release of liability nationwide. Two, compensation offers moved off the MLS. So the MLS can no longer say we're paying 2%, 2.5%, or 3%. There just won't be a spot for commissions anymore. Written agreements for MLS participants acting for buyers. So if you're an agent and you're also on the MLS, before you show houses, you'll have to enter into an agreement with the buyer that actually says, hey, I'm your agent, and you're going to end up paying me $5,000 or $10,000. And that's actually happening mid-July 2024. So that was one of the crazy parts that I wasn't expecting it. I expected big changes, not this fast. They'll pay $418 million in settlement over 4 years. They'll continue to deny any wrongdoing. And then, you know, I think the most important part is they said, you know, the other part of this email, and I think a lot of people have had it out here. Now it's been forwarded around. It said, how will they still make money? Essentially. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into, you know, different spots of like what'll be in the letters and what'll be in the written agreements. David, what have you heard? What are people asking you? What's come up so far? And I found
Okay. So first off, let me just give a disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer. I don't think either of you are either. Most of us as agents don't really understand exactly what went on. We read the same headlines as everyone else. We're told bits and pieces of information that filter down. It's kind of like when I was a cop and I had to be a detective. That person says this, this person says this, and you take all these pieces and try to put a collage together to get some understanding what's going on. So I could say something right now, even though I am a broker, that is technically inaccurate. So let me just go on the record and say, I apologize if I get something wrong, but I will do my best to be candid and share my understanding. My understanding is that realtors had a rule that if you wanted to put your house in the MLS, you had to pay the buyer's agent who brought the buyer something. It could be as little as a penny, but you had to pay him something. And the motive behind that was, if I put my house in the MLS and Aaron is a buyer's agent and he brings Shelby who wants to buy the house and Shelby falls in love with the house, I can't turn around and say, well, Shelby, you're going to have to work with me, the listing agent, and I'm going to double end it. Aaron, thanks for bringing your client and getting her all excited about the house. You can leave now. We don't need you. Mm-hmm. It was actually meant to protect the buyers from showing up with their agent who they thought was going to represent them and protect them, and then having that agent get cut out of the deal as the listing agent double ended it. Because we can all agree that when the listing agent is getting paid by the seller and they're representing both clients, they're not going to be representing both clients. That's human nature. I don't think that's controversial to say. So the idea was, both sides are going to have their own party. The seller's going to pay for both of them. And that was in the best interest of sellers, because it meant that more buyers would want to buy their house. More people are in the job market looking at homes if they feel like they get their own agent. Just think about if you were buying a car and you went to the car lot and there was a point where you could bring your own representative and they worked at other car lots where they actually sold cars. And they're like, hey, if you bring me, I'll go and I'll tell you all the shady stuff they're going to do. Here's how they're going to try to hit you with financing. Here's how they're going to jack up your interest rate. Here's how they're going to sell you on a warranty. They're going to tell you that this is the blue book value, but really they bought it at this price. I know every trick in the book, and I'm going to negotiate for you. How much better would both of you feel about buying a car? We hate right. buying cars because we don't have that. The person who is helping you, in quotes, is actually somebody who works for the person that controls the asset. They are not helping you. They just need to make you feel like they're helping you. That's how real estate works in countries like Australia or in the commercial world. Aaron, you're familiar with that. You don't bring a buyer's agent to buy a commercial asset. You better know your stuff if you're going to go buy an apartment complex. And it's notorious in that world that listing agents have the reputation of being liars. They give you information that's a pro forma that's not accurate, or they hide things so that you don't find stuff out. Buyers are not protected in that world. Why? They don't have their own representation. Now, as a caveat, I will say most buyer's agents in our industry absolutely suck. So people were not bringing the best example of an agent to represent them. It's kind of like if this is Game of Thrones and you pick someone trial by combat, most agents are like Tyrion. They're the dwarf and they have zero idea what they're doing. And this is how agents got themselves into this hot water, because most of us suck. Let me just go out and say that as you're listening to this. It's okay to admit that you suck. That's where everything starts. Every person that wants to get fit has to start off admitting that they're not fit. That's why you're listening to this podcast. This is you being at the gym. So congrats. But this is why everybody hates realtors, because we're not good at our job. And that's, I think, why that happened. So now let me fast forward to the ruling. The people who looked at this, the jury decided it was not fair for the seller to be forced to compensate a buyer's agent, even a penny, if they wanted to put their house in the MLS. The reason I personally disagree with that is nobody forced sellers to put their house in the MLS. You did not ever have to pay a buyer's agent. You could just say, I don't want to pay a buyer's agent, and I will put a sign in my own front yard. I will advertise on Craigslist. I will advertise on Facebook. You could do whatever the hell you want. You don't have to put it in the MLS, but they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They want to put their house in the MLS where all the buyers are going to see it. And now they want to say, and we don't want to have to pay a buyer's agent for coming. All this did was shift the responsibility for the commissions from the seller who chose how much they want to pay a buyer to the person buying the house.
Yep.
And that sounds fair, but just think about it. Who has all of the money coming out of their account during a transaction? It's a buyer. They have to come up with a down payment, 3 to 20%, depending how much they're putting down, maybe more. They have closing costs. They have title and escrow fees. They have lender costs. If they're trying to buy their rate down, that's going to be even more. They have costs associated with getting home inspections, pest inspections, roof inspections, foundation inspections, pool inspections. They're also going to have to pay for things when they buy the house that they want to fix it up. If it needs rehab, that's the buyer going to pay for it. If there's issues that are like little things are breaking, if they want to repaint stuff, if they want to replace stuff, if they want to get new furniture, all of the expenses of buying a house were put on the buyer. The only one that the buyers didn't have to pay was their own agent. And now that's gone too. So yeah. When I heard the logic of this thing, I'm not defending realtors here because I'll be the first one to say most realtors are terrible. And that's why I make content to educate them as you guys do as well. I am against the logic that was brought here that it was unfair that sellers had to pay something to a buyer's agent if they wanted to put their house on the MLS because they didn't have to put it on the MLS. You could just put it somewhere else. That's wild to me that like if I want to sell my car on your car lot, Aaron, and I'm going to have to pay you a fee to do it, that some ruling came out that said I'm allowed to sell my car on your lot, but I also don't have to pay you a fee. That yeah. part I didn't understand. And that isn't represented in the headlines, right? What gets said is realtors conspired to artificially inflate home prices by forcing sellers to pay buyer commissions. I don't think this is going to drop the price of houses one bit. I don't think there's any seller out there who says, oh, I don't have to pay the buyer's agent. Let me drop my price by 15 grand. Not going to happen.
So I mean, guess that would be prediction one from David is prices aren't going down. Right. So it's not exactly the one right. prediction is it will not make prices cheaper. You know, I love getting to chat with David. When David and I met, we met at a little Italian restaurant in Roseville, California, when David was still a cop, active cop, but probably the wealthiest cop I ever knew because he was making way more money in real estate than by being an officer getting shot at. I couldn't believe that he was making so much money, but still getting shot at. So glad to have you back so we can have some of these as we get to go more into it, as you're one of the best storytellers and problem solvers I know. You know, so people are asking now, so because we know the problem, like David just restated the problem and what has really frustrated everybody, right? And the legalities of it, just it got really, really simple. And there was a lot of things that caused it. And maybe we'll come on a different one later, talks about the greed behind the, you know, when a few years ago, somebody made a flat rate listing website. And then the Realtors Association said, you know what, you're not allowed to actually do not flat rate listing. It was like off-market listing or pocket listings, what it was called, like pocketlistings.com. They said, no, you're not allowed to have a pocket listing. If you're a realtor and you're going to get a listing, you have to put it on MLS. So that like was one of the things. The Realtor Association has always been, the NAR has always been pushing really heavily. It has to be on MLS. You have to be able to pay a commission, all that stuff. So a lot of things came into like greed and stuff like that got us where we are. Or whatever, or people are always, commissions have been under attack forever. Very first time I ever did a real estate deal and brought it to an investor, the investor said, wait, why are we paying a 2% commission? My brother's cousin's roommate's an agent. Why don't we have him listed if I'm going to invest with you? So people have always thought commission was like up for them to steal. They've always thought it was theirs. It's always been under attack. So like now we got here and now with the settlement, if the government agrees to it, now we're here and this is the new normal. So now it's like, what do we do to go forward? So it says the types of conversation available for buyers brokers would be this: either a fixed fee commission paid directly by the consumers. So fixed fee means you could pay me $5,000 or $10,000, or you could pay me $200 to show a house, or you could pay me $200 to write an offer, or you could pay me $300 transaction fee to do this. So it's going to be fixed fee transaction where ahead of time you agree to that. Second is as a concession from the seller. But right now it would be included in the max allowable concessions. So I don't know what it is for FHA right now. If it's 4% or 6% credit, whatever the credit is that you can get, it can come out of that, but you can't get a higher amount. So if for conventional loans, if you're able to get a max 3% back, it's saying, well, you can use some of your concessions to pay, but that's like anything. That's the same as saying like, oh, instead of us replacing the roof, we'll give you a $10,000 credit. You can use the money for whatever you want. So that's like a nothing burger. And then the last thing it says is, or a portion of the listing broker's compensation, but that negotiation happens actually between the buyer and the seller, right? And the buyer and the seller and the broker, they're going to see it all. So if a buyer says, hey, we'll buy the house, but listing broker, you have to pay $5,000 of your commission to my buyer's agent. In the past, the listing broker like would not want to really present that. Essentially, like if agents were negotiating for commission, it was behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a buyer and seller never knew that was killing the deal or not. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to see it. So you're going to have a seller that's going to be like, David, like, pay them $5,000 out of your commission, because they're going to see like, no, make, get my house sold. If this is the caveat, like make it happen. So, so I think it's going to lead to some creativity, you know, and, I think I'm going to say a couple of my quick predictions and then maybe throw a question back at, or, and then Shelby, tell us where to go. But the, I think that overall, this is happening a lot faster than I thought. I don't think that people, like, there isn't going to be much of a reason to list on MLS. I think it's going to be cheaper for people just to list on Zillow some of the time, like especially smaller agents that get listings. There's no reason to pay to be part of an association when you can just put it on Zillow. I was surprised that Zillow's stock value went down, but because I was thinking, well, eventually people are just going to say like buy offer on Zillow, because they're, and it'll go direct to the agents and they can charge transaction fees throughout there. But I also realized that right now Zillow makes most of their money selling buyer leads, like, yep. And they're not going to be able to sell buyer leads for a while. So, you know, I think people are really concerned about what conversation do you have with a prospective client. And I'd love to hear both your guys' ideas on that, because it used to be like, I remember talking, like we used to teach it on the podcast that you would tell them, don't worry. Like, you're not paying me. The seller's paying me. I'm doing all of this for you for free. They're paying me. Let me be your agent. That's going to be a much easier sell, I think, than saying, hey, you're going to pay me $10,000, but there's a chance that the seller might pay some of that. But I want you to know that like you're paying me this to do that. So I do think it's going to be, I think there's pros and cons to that. So I'd like to hear both your guys' take on that maybe. So as a change that will happen, and then what's that going to do to commissions kind of overall and those relationships? A lot of people are saying, yeah, what do we do? Like, what do we do now? How do we actually get people to sign that agreement? Shelby, what do you think about all this first in layman's terms?
What do I think about all of this? I have a lot of thoughts on most of this. I think to go back to the reason why we were fighting commissions for so long, I think that, David, what you said about buyers agents just sucking, mostly agents just sucking at all and having a really hard time communicating value because they do suck. But I think that if for those clients who have paid the commission to an agent who was absolutely worth their weight in gold and busted their ass, I don't think that that compensation would ever have been a real problem. So I do think that maybe a positive from this is that I think that, you know, the weak, in theory, the ones who aren't doing a good job, hopefully will be weeded out. So that way that the agents who are able to articulate their value and perform will be compensated accordingly.
Here's one of the criticisms I hear about commissions. And I'm only bringing this up because I think everybody else hears them too. You go and you see some Instagram influencer or maybe a guy like Aaron who buys a lot of real estate, knows what he's doing, doesn't need a whole lot of handholding from an agent. He basically just needs an agent to get access to the MLS or access to the forms that are going to be filled out and maybe play middleman. But Aaron's making the decisions. He's not relying on his agent to tell him, what do you think I should do? What's a home inspection? Those people are the ones making most of the content. And they go, why am I paying 2%, 3% for you to open a door? Why am I paying 3% for you to fill out a contract? And I understand if that was the way it worked, that would be a very valid argument. And that is the way it is portrayed. But as a real estate broker, and I've had my license for like 8 years, that happens 1% of the time. I never get people that say, David, I want to buy this house. Here, write the offer. And it goes into contract just like that. It's 99% of the time you show somebody 50 houses and they never buy one. People ask you a bazillion questions talking to you on the phone, wanting to know about real estate, and they don't want to pay for that. People say, what's my house worth? What's the deal with property taxes over here? What do you think is going to happen with this or that? Investors get a free education off the back of their real estate agent. Agents are constantly talking to people, trying to find a client. And the reason it's benefited them is the small percentage of the time that it turns into a sale, they get a big commission. But they don't make that much money overall because the majority of the work they do is unpaid. If this changes the way people are hoping that it will, and they think what they're getting out of is big commissions, you're just going to trade a big commission to get nickel and dimed by your agent for everything that you used to get for free. It's going to become like lawyers. Think about every time one of us has to talk to a lawyer. What we have is a quick question we want answered. What they say is, here's a retainer. Go ahead and fill that out. It's a battle every time you talk to a lawyer, because they don't want to give away information for free that they spent years accumulating. And we don't want to pay a whole bunch of money for 5 minutes. Okay. the bad lawyers, the ones that cannot engage in conflict, that cannot have a conversation about their value or command presence or exercise frame control, just stop being lawyers, or they work for a good one and they become a glorified paralegal. The good lawyers with a mouthpiece on them that know how to talk, that know how to make you feel safe, they make a bunch of money and they find a way to drag a 10-minute conversation into 3 hours of billing. And we all know what that's like when you're dealing with them. My fear is that's what we just got out of real estate agents. You're really high eye, excited, nice, like life of the party type personality that used to get by because you didn't need conflict skills. You just had a seller pay you and you never had to discuss the uncomfortable thing about money. They're done. I don't know how they compete at this point, because now you have to have uncomfortable conversations about money. And the sharks, the lawyer type mentalities that are very comfortable being uncomfortable, they're going to get all the business and they're going to find a way to nickel and dime every person that has a question about a property. Like you just said, Aaron, here's how much I get paid per hour if you don't want to pay me the commission. I think that the public was bamboozled into thinking, oh, we're not going to have to pay commissions. This is going to be great. Agents are going to work for free. And they're going to find out the agents have been doing a lot of work for free in the past with the hope of the big commission coming in. And now they're not going to.
Yeah. You know, the commercial industry has been like this for a long time in the US. So this is the current, it's the way it works in Australia.
Yep.
And, you know, average commissions total for house are now, you know, about 2%. It's the way it is in Europe and a lot of the places in Europe. There's just the listing agent. There's no buyer agent commission. And now the average commission is between 1% and 2%. It's like this in commercial right now. And a lot of the times what you'll see, like a listing, instead of like some commercials on MLS, but most of it you'll find on places like LoopNet, where people pay mm-hmm. $250 a month to put it on there. Mm-hmm. And they will say, hey, buyers are responsible to pay for their own representation. So here's the price plus whatever commission you want to pay your buyer. And so as a result, what happens, and the listing agent gets paid something in those. So savvy buyers, people like me, we're just going to go direct, and we're going to go direct to the seller, and we're going to negotiate, and we're not going to pay a buyer's agent. But the people that will pay buyer's agents are one that people aren't savvy, right? They're like, no, I actually need help buying the deal, so I need to hire a pro, or people that are really, really busy. They're like, so, because if I did want to go, if I'm like really busy trying to buy houses in like Texas and Arizona, but I want to also buy a great office deal in Oregon, I'm going to have to hire an agent to do that and just agree like, no, if you find me a good enough deal, I'm going to pay you the $50,000 to do it at closing. And so I think the people that will be hiring and paying buyer's agents flat out are going to be like that. Like, hey, I'm really busy. I need you to go like check out the 25 houses first, and then I'll go walk the two or three with you that are the best. Paying it ahead of time. They're going to require it now by law. I'm trying to figure out how soon they're going to require it. But the concept is, if somebody calls you and says, hey, can you answer a couple questions about this listing? If you're a member of MLS, you're supposed to send them a DocuSign agreement ahead of time. And you'll have, and before you do any showings, what they said on the Oregon NAR letters, before you do any showings, you're going to have to get them to sign something with the seller and with the buyer. So back to the solution. Because the reality is, or the strategy, right? So now this is the time, right? So it is the time. And part of me goes, people just need to start practicing. Somebody on our Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind page said, what do we do, right? Like, what would you recommend a buyer's agent to do right now? And one, as I said, you know, try to figure out how you can start getting more listings, because the listings are going to be protected, was one of the concepts. And two, I said, start to get really good at the script, because like anything, the first couple times you go tell somebody, well, here's the deal. You pay me $5,000, but there's a chance someone else does, whatever it comes. And David, your point of like the people that are really good about talking about money, that can sit down and go like, no, this is how much you pay me. I'm not good at that, right? Like, honestly, yeah, you're right. But the people that are going to thrive. But I also think it can be taught. And so if you're going to somebody now for the first time, David, and they tell you, hey, before you can represent this buyer, you need to get them to sign an agreement agreeing to pay you if you ever buy a house. So what are you going to tell Mr. Buyer? Like, what are you going to say as the pitch when you bring it to me and say, hey, I'd love to show you houses. Here's my buyer rep agreement. Mm-hmm. This is how much you're going to pay me. And I go, well, I don't have the $10,000 to pay you. What do you mean?
That is a great question.
Such a good one.
That's the question everyone should be answering. And the answers are going to be found in this book, Pitch Anything by Oren Kloff. Awesome book. I've already been doing this for years. I've been doing this. So first off, whenever something is awkward, like here's how much my commission is when you're going to sell your house, you make it less awkward by focusing on the things that are preceding the conversation or leading up to it. So I never show up to a seller's house with a listing agreement and say, hey, my commission is 6%, sign on the dotted line. I show up and I give them a listing presentation. I carefully plan the listing presentation. Every single slide is for a purpose. It starts off introducing myself, breaking the ice, letting them get to know me. I have a whole thing I do before I even give them the presentation to make that even easier. And then as we go through the slides, they are purposely designed to puncture your confidence in your ability to sell your own house while at the same time subtly making me look like I'm much better at doing it. And then once I like, they're like, well, this guy's good. Now I just hit you with value after value after value that I very carefully and clearly define. And by the end of it, you're like, please take my money because you're going to make me so much of it. And they never fight with me over the commission. But when you just walk in and try to just rob, drop it, hey, 6%, here you go, they're going to have an issue with that. That's laziness. That's not people thinking about it. The book I just read, or the book I just pointed out, highlights how the human brain makes decisions. There's three steps that our that our brain uses to process information: the croc brain, the midbrain, and the neocortex. I make presentations that are designed to satisfy each of those steps before I go to the next one. I will do the same thing with buyers. It'll be the exact same thing. We've been doing this on the David Green team. We don't just send people buyer broker agreements to sign. If you're going to work with us, you get an hour and a half presentation, sometimes longer, of everything that goes into buying a house. This is what the process looks like. This is what homes cost. This is an earnest money deposit. This is the contract. These are what contingencies are. This is the process of showing homes. This is what a home inspection report looks like. This is what we look for. This is what we don't worry about. Here's an appraisal. This is what a loan contingency is. Here's how I'm going to introduce you to the loan officer. Here's the question.
You do those one-on-one?
Yes.
So somebody looks at your Zillow and they say, hey, or whatever. You get a Zillow ad. Somebody says, hey, can you show me this house? Your guys' next statement is, let's schedule a Zoom to do this presentation.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I would never go and just show somebody a house because I'm not a prostitute. If they're just looking for a quick good time, then I'm not the right agent to go use. That's the people that Zillow sells their leads to. They're not as good of an agent. I have an entire sales funnel. So that person would be classified as a lead. The next step with the lead is give a presentation or set an appointment. That is not. Now, if I did meet you at the house, Aaron, it would only be for the purpose of making a good impression and getting you in my office. It would not be for the purpose of selling you that house. If I have to do that, it's still intentional. It's still the step before the step. Then I get you in my office. Then I give you the thing. And then we find out if you're just looking for a quick good time, if you're looking for a committed relationship to see if we would be a good fit. Because I'm not going to prostitute myself out there just hoping that you fall in love with me. It's a terrible dating strategy and it's a terrible real estate strategy. And I think agents have gotten away with this for too freaking long because we haven't had to have the conversation about money because the sellers were just going to pay it. The listing agent had that conversation for us and we got to avoid all the conflict. And that is partly what allowed bad agents to exist in our industry for so long. It's why agents have a very bad reputation. And it's why I think everybody turned against us and jumped on the bandwagon of we don't like commissions.
Yeah.
I think that those who have been working with investors probably have a leg up right now. Because if you've been working for an investor, like hypothetically back in 2018, after I sold one house that was $40,000 and I was relying on the 3% provided by the seller in the MLS, I was like, this is absolutely not going to happen long term. And so right away, it's like it forces those conversations of like, hey, I'd love to work with you as an investor, but we do charge a buyer's premium for all of these services. So I think that maybe the investors will have a leg up because they're used to having those hard conversations if they do have that system already in place. I have a question though. So, okay, what do you guys think about the listing agent? Do you think that the listing agent will still try to recommend to the seller to compensate the buyer's agent? And with that, do you think that it would be, hypothetically, I'm thinking about this conversation, maybe like a variable rate where it's like, and this is where relationships might matter more than ever in the industry, where it's like, hey, look, there is a lot of power in the buyer's agent. If it's the right agent, they can navigate, they can help ensure that the contract actually gets to close. Whereas if a buyer was representing themselves and they don't know how to negotiate, they don't know what's right and wrong, they don't know what to do. And so the likelihood of that contract getting to close decreases. Whereas if I'm the listing agent and I go to the seller and I can properly articulate through, you know, David's book, great, but also like exactly what to say. Phil Jones, have you guys heard of it? Like freaking amazing book. By asking questions to drag essentially the client through the potential pain that could occur if the, you know, course of action is not taken, to articulate, hey, look, this compensation, it doesn't need to be for everyone. Not every agent is deserving, but there are certain agents in our market who, when they represent a buyer, it highly increases the likelihood of us hitting the closing table. Therefore, do you think that listing agents will still fight for compensation for buyer's agents? Curious.
I will. On my own houses, I'll be offering it because I still sell homes. I'll be offering a high compensation to everyone because I'm not ignorant. I know what makes a house sell for the most money possible is the most buyers possible. So I'm a good negotiator, but I'm not naive enough to think I can negotiate when there's no offers coming in. If I'm selling Aaron's property and it sits on the market 45 days and we don't get even one offer, it does not matter how good of a negotiator I am. I have no leverage to use. If I get 10 offers in the first 7 days, which happens in California all the time, I can go out of those 10 people and find out who's got the buyer that is absolutely fatigued with writing offers and getting rejected, who's going to go way over, who's going to waive all of their contingencies and capitalize on that. I just want this house and I'm going to make Aaron another 60 or 70 grand. Well, he paid me an extra 10,000 because I got 6% instead of 5. He came out way on top. So I want to get as many people as possible to buy the house. I want to let the market do its job. And if you're going to buy a house, Shelby, and you know that that house has one offer, zero offers, or 10 offers, that makes a difference in the price you decide you're going to have to pay. If it's got a ton of offers, you know you're going to have to pay way more. So I see an ROI on that. The more offers I can get, the more I can sell my house for, the paying a buyer's agent commission gets me more offers. I think that that's kind of a no-brainer. Now, if you're in a market where houses take 90 days to sell, of course, the paying more of a commission isn't going to help. So maybe in a sense that this will kind of shake its way out where some of the less hot markets, the commission becomes a flat rate, but some of the more competitive markets like mine, it stays commission-based.
What I liked of the benefit, I want to recap what I think like the good news is in some of it, right? Is David's example is he doesn't work with a lot of looky-loos. Right? He's only working with agents that are serious. And I interviewed a guy, I want to say like 2-3 years ago, and he would require buyers to sign a buyer rep agreement when he would get them. And he would tell them they're going to pay 4% and the seller's only going to pay 2 or 3. And the advantage, I need to dig up that one to bring it back out. And he talked about the advantage of that was most of the time they wouldn't charge them the extra amount, but they knew that they were only working with buyers that were serious about buying. And he would sometimes have them say, hey, you're going to pay me $5,000 or $2,000 as a retainer right now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then you'll get that back when the seller pays me. Yep. But like, so I've met guys that they would never show houses unless they were paid something at the beginning to know that people were serious as a qualification metric. So my prediction is that buyer's agents are going to be paid less per transaction than they were, but maybe they're going to, but their success rate of the buyers they're working with and spending time with, I think will be higher. Now, your question, Shelby, will listing agents tell the seller, pay me as much commission as possible so that way I can pay, that way I can share with the buyer's agent to make their lives easier? Yes, all listing agents don't want to represent the buyer's agreement, buyer's agent. The problem or the challenge or what's going to come of that is they're just not going to be able to do 6%, right? Or even 5%. Because what sellers are going to say is, well, the law says clearly, like the listing agreements are going to say, like, you do not have to pay the buyer's agent. And later that's going to be negotiable. And so I think that listing agents are going to have a tough time having somebody sign a 5 or 6 at the beginning, knowing that someone may come without an agent. Because if someone comes without an agent, the seller is going to want to say, I want 3%. I want to get that money back. And so I think a lot of them are going to say, hey, we'll just pay it with concessions later. But if a certain lending type, you know, is limited to 3 or 4% concessions, then they're not going to be able to pay them as much. I think one of the solutions is going to come from the lending industry.
Yeah.
First, there are special companies that you can buy a house and get like a $20,000 fix up loan as part of your house. Right. And it's permanent, right? You can buy a $400,000 house. The loan's going to be for 420. So now you can actually go replace the cabinets when you move in. There aren't a lot of them. It's not super common. You guys probably both know about it as investors. So I think that there's going to be some lenders that are kind of creative at the beginning that want to grow market share that are going to say, hey, we've got this product that you can put your buyer's agent commission in the purchase price. And we'll let you do that for 3% over the appraisal amount or something like that. So I really think the solution, or really the path moving forward, is going to come from lenders first. Or FHA could say, hey, we're going to allow 7% concessions now. Or conventional could say, oh, we're going to allow 6% concessions now. Then it keeps it negotiable, but when it is worth it. But I mean, I think my biggest prediction is it's not business. It won't be business as usual. I mean, I do think that it's going to be backed. I think that like sellers are going to be paying a 3% average commission. And then on occasion, they'll be giving out more. And it doesn't necessarily benefit anybody, but it is taking that part away. But the to answer your question, though, Shelby, like I do think listing agents want buyer's agents to be there. But the way that it's written right now, they won't be able to just offer them the same amount they offer them now.
Right. I think listing agents will want it. I think that articulating the value across the board, because so hypothetically, like even today, if I had a listing, or David, you had a listing, and I was the seller, and I went to you and I was like, hey, I saw on CNN that I don't have to pay the buyer's agent anymore.
Yeah, let's role play that. Yeah, you don't have to pay the buyer's agent anymore. CNN is exactly right. Now they have to pay their own agent. Are you excited about that?
Yes.
Okay. What are you most excited about? That's money you get to save.
Exactly. More money for me, David.
Well, it'll be more money that you save, but less money that you make. Because here's what I'm worried about. We wanted to sell your house for more than asking price. Remember that conversation where I said, hire me because I can sell it for more?
Yes.
Well, if we don't have people that are coming to buy it, the buyers aren't going to want to pay more. And if people have to pay their own buyer's agent, they're not going to buy a house at all. And you're going to have less buyers in the buyer pool, which means less people competing for your house, which means you're ultimately going to make a lot less. Now, here's two options. We could accept that we're going to make less for your house, but you could feel good about how much money you saved. Or we could be one of the few sellers that is still paying buyer's agents and we can get our unfair share of the market. Every buyer's agent out there is going to say, hey, if you buy Shelby's house, then your client doesn't have to pay you. And they can avoid that uncomfortable conversation that agents don't want to have, like I'm having with you right now. And they're all going to come flooding to us and you're going to sell for way more.
But David, doesn't everyone just find their homes on Zillow? Like the clients out there, they find their homes on Zillow. They don't even need a buyer's agent. You know, they can come to me direct. No, come to you direct.
Yeah, they can. And some of them are probably going to do that. And then I'm going to have to represent both them and you, which is going to be more work for me. So then we're going to have to discuss how I'm going to get compensated to do both sides. So that is an option. But see, when they come to us, they're not going to have their own agent. These are going to be the agents that fall out of escrow. They're going to be excited. They're going to buy the house. They're going to get into escrow. Nobody's prepped them for what's going to be expected. As soon as they get a home inspection, they're going to run away. And we're going to go back on the market. We're going to have a higher days on market. We're going to look like old product that nobody wants. And the new house is going to come along and all the buyers are going to be going to that one instead.
Well, can't we just pay them less, David? Like now, can't we pay them less? Do we still have to pay them 3% since some people aren't paying them at all? Couldn't we just pay them like 1% now?
No, I think that's a good idea. I think we could start off by paying them less and still get some attention here. But you have to understand that when the buyer's agent tells their buyer, hey, I'm only getting paid 1% on this deal, the buyer's going to have to pay the difference, or they're going to just go to a house where they don't have to have that conversation. And that's a choice you get to make. Do you want to lower the number of people that want to buy your house and send them to your competition? Or do you want to pay more money, but make sure that we get that back in a higher purchase price?
So I want to say that, so that role playing was like great, right? So as agents are stressed out right now about what they need to be doing, I think it is going to be about role playing and script when you're a buyer. Again, it's changed. The script used to be, hey, you don't have to pay me. Let me go show you the houses. And people would show houses for 10 clients and only two of them would ever become buyers.
Yeah.
Right. And it's now it's changing the script to having a buyer's presentation being similar to a listing agent presentation to make sure they're real. Maybe having them prepay a $500 retainer to make sure they're real or something, because industry standard is going to kind of let you do that. And I think one of the challenges that's going to happen, David, the way that this agreement is written right now, which says on NAR, is you're not going to be able to tell buyer's agents you're paying buyer agent commission. Right. So it'll be something like once somebody shows the house or somebody calls and says like, hey, can we show your house? Maybe it's the first conversation. By the way, my seller's already, you know, he's planning to be able to reimburse your buyer thing or whatever. But you won't be able to put on MLS, we're paying a buyer commission, is the big thing that they're decoupling. And so It almost gives an advantage to list on Zillow, because on Zillow, you could say, we're paying a buyer's agent commission, but on MLS, you, it will be illegal for you to say you're paying a buyer agent commission.
It kind of felt like the writing was on the wall the minute the agents started to let Zillow and Realtor.com and Redfin start showing the houses that were in the MLS on those portals, because then people started going to those portals instead of to agents. And whoever controls the front of the funnel controls the process. That made agents inherently less important in the entire home buying process, because people didn't come to us to look at homes. They went to Zillow. It is possible, and this is what I'm scared of, that Zillow goes, you know what? You want your house listed on Zillow? You got to list it with Zillow brokerage. You're not going to be able to list it with Shelby. If you list with Shelby,
it's that's a wild prediction that eventually they don't let. Because right now we list our rentals on Zillow and we pay $7 a week, right? Like, and I was thinking it would almost be advantageous, because it says right now, if you're an MLS participant, you're not allowed to advertise your buyer commission. But part of me goes, leave the MLS. Pay $7 a week on Zillow, and your first thing says, we'll pay 3% buyer commission through concessions, right? And then you're going to attract like that attention.
Zillow's not going to want $7. They're going to want the whole commission. And if buyers are forced to go directly and use a listing agent, Zillow just hires people they call listing agents. And now agents are cut out of it completely. And then you're going to get a war between Zillow and Realtor and Redfin and whatever other company comes up to try to get buyer eyeballs on their products first. See, it used to be that way in the industry. You had Remax, you had Century 21, you had Coldwell Banker, and they all had their own listings. And you had to go to that specific brokerage to look at their inventory. And then they decided to play nice. And they created an MLS where everybody could look at everybody's stuff, and it was better for the consumer. There were less sharks. If you wanted to look at all the houses and you went to Coldwell Banker, they were only going to show you Coldwell Banker houses. They weren't going to show you a house that another broker had. Well, that went away when we had the MLS. This, in a sense, that MLS that was the glue that held it together just got dissolved. And I think it's going to split back up into broker wars. But instead of it being a brokerage, it's wherever the person's eyeballs go to first, the website. Because that's the new important thing. And as agents are going to be like, what the hell? They don't call me anymore. They just go right to Zillow or right to Realtor. And then Amazon's going to get involved and say, buy your house on Amazon and get a free year of Amazon Prime or whatever.
I mean, your predictions are right.
Dude, like, it's so true.
Did we just give up?
No, I don't think we give up. But that's a great insurance. And this is oddly validating to me, because since Pillars of Wealth came out, I've been spreading this message that you have to stop looking for the easy way in life.
Yeah,
that's become a ridiculous virus in our country. Of everyone says, how do I make the most money possible with the least work possible? They're obsessed with passive income. They want the easier road. They want AI. They want technology. They want to automate everything. Instead of saying, how do I become the best that I could be at something? Zillow, Amazon, Redfin, they're obsessed with being the best. Agents are just obsessed with being nice. They haven't wanted to get better. They haven't wanted to have nice or hard conversations. They haven't wanted to work on the stuff we're talking about. And you're going to get left behind if that's the attitude. You've got to be committed to the pursuit of excellence right now. You have to lead gen to stay in front of your clients so they come to you first. You have to be able to articulate clearly why they're better to come to you than to Zillow. And if you just say, oh, that's uncomfortable, I don't like doing that. Okay, well, then you're going to be pouring coffee at a coffee shop somewhere, because they're not going to come to us like they used to. We had a whole lot of things that were inherent in the old system that made it easier for us that are being taken away.
So I just read another part of it. So it does say buyer rep agreements must be signed between the buyer, the buyer's agent, and the seller before touring homes. So you would have to, so essentially before touring the home, once you represent them, you do a buyer agent agreement, right? And then actually before getting to tour the home on an individual basis, you'll need to enter into another agreement with the seller. That they sign the thing saying that you're bringing a buyer.
That sounds like something that NAR or a broker came up with to cover their butts. Okay. It's not wise, because the buyers are not going to want to do that. They just want to see the house. They don't want to jump through all this stupid red tape that realtors and their brokers came up with.
So that'll become part of this. Maybe DocuSign will solve it though. I mean, so people are pretty good at like signing quickly on DocuSign and not reading stuff
that part, Aaron, but if I got to show you a house, and before I can show you the house, I got to get the listing agent to agree to what my compensation is going to be if we happen to like the listing agent. Yeah, sorry.
The seller has to sign, right?
So now I got to talk to listing agents to schedule the damn showing. Then the seller or the listing agent has to talk to their client to get them to agree what the compensation would be to me and to every other person that wants to come. It's going to muddy this process up so much that some company is going to come along and be like, hey, we solved that problem for you. Go look at houses without having to worry about all this stuff. And it'll be one less thing that people need agents for.
Yeah,
totally. If that was the case, I'm not doing it. You know, if I was the client, Shelby,
that's how most people are going to think. Yes,
I'm not doing it.
I'm not going to do all this crap. I just want to see the house. I don't want to get caught up in your guys' stupid battles that are taking place right now. And I guess that's why I'm a little irritated with this ruling, because they're pitching it like this is better for consumers. It's just going to make everything more difficult. You're going to have more agents that are sharks. Here's what I predict is going to happen. What you said about commissions being part of a concession, Aaron, is probably exactly where we're headed. So the buyer agent is going to negotiate with their own client what they get paid. And then they're going to say, but I will try to get the seller to pay that for you so you don't have to pay it. So instead of the buyer's agent commission being spelled out on a listing agreement, it's just going to be negotiated when the offer is made as a closing cost with all the other ones. And why I don't like that is because I work in this industry and I know how easy it is to hide things in closing costs. I have a mortgage company. We charge the exact same amount to every single person. A lot of my competitors don't. They're like, yeah, we'll give you this really low rate. And then they just hide extra fees that they charge you in closing costs because there's a million ways to hide them. This is going to bring less transparency to the entire process, even though it's being shown as more. It's going to be more line items that a buyer doesn't understand. You're going to get more buyers to say, you know what, buying a house is too complicated. I don't want to do it. And it's going to get an advantage to Aaron and I, who buy houses all the time anyways. We're not the one that the government needs to be making this easier for. We already have a lot of houses, right? The sophisticated people are going to make out like a bandit here. And the people who don't know anything, the construction worker that just shows up and frames houses and wants to buy a house that needs an agent to explain it to him, is going to have to pay more or get intimidated by the process and not want to do it. That's my fear.
You know, on our, I was going to read the advice, the quick advice I sent over to Victor, who's part of our mastermind. He just said, Aaron, if you were a buyer's agent, what would you do to adjust and thrive in this new reality? Because we do get to be frustrated. We get to be frustrated. We get to be like, oh man, like, but it's like everything. Like when it's like when lawmakers make Airbnb illegal in a city.
Yeah.
By the way, I was making six figures a month buying foreclosures every month. And then COVID hit and made foreclosures illegal. So in one moment, the government, I can like be okay with this because I've already had it happen where in one moment the government changed a law that impacted my income by millions of dollars a year. And there was nothing I could do about it. And my only pivot was going to another business. Right. And then change the way we bought foreclosures. We started buying them direct from sellers instead. So I'm a big believer in, man, someone's going to make a bunch of money and transactions are going to happen. So it might as well be any of our listeners. Right. So we get to be frustrated. But part of the pivot, he said, what would you do? You know, if you were a buyer's agent and I think they're going to require you to sign an agency agreement with buyers before even showing them houses. And now that's confirmed and they have to know how much they're going to pay you. So I just think practicing the script for that moment and figuring out which script lands best, right? When we're cold calling, we try 30 or 40 scripts until we find one that we nail it. Practice until we figure out what that script is. And I said, the benefit will be buyer's agents will only have to work with buyers that are very interested. I'm liking the idea of like, pay me $500 now to start doing this and maybe we can get it reimbursed. I would also have all buyer's agents focus on becoming listing agents, like through lead gen. Tons of people need to sell their house and have equity. Buyer's agents can probably offer various levels of service, show houses for $150 a house, escrow coordination at something like a la carte type things. Because once it becomes negotiable, some buyers may be like that. They're like, well, I don't need you for all that. I only need you for this part. And then you could say, okay, go find another agent. You could say, refer it. So there are big changes, like, so as we could see it, and there's, you know, millions of people are frustrated. I think the biggest thing with this email that came out Friday, you know, it was funny. We talked about it at our mastermind just 2 weeks ago. And one of the guys there, who's a great friend of mine now, he said, they will never have this go through. It's going to change an appeal. They're never going to change the way buyer's agents work, buyer commission works for agents. And one of the things I said, I had an image of like an ostrich wearing a real estate agent suit with his head in the sand. At this point, the biggest change that we found Friday is, I would say 2 weeks ago, everyone knew this was coming eventually, but there was a percentage of people that believed it was too good to be true because people want to base the news on what they want to know too. unlikely they want to be true. So there was a lot of people that were saying, hey, it's just going to change and appeal. Nothing's going to happen. If you can hear any, if you get anything out of me from this podcast, okay, listeners, I would say now it is true that something is happening, and it's happening much faster than I predicted. 2 weeks ago, I said within 2 years, these changes will be final. Right. And now it's within 4 months. So mid-July is when a lot of these requirements come into place.
I think change was necessary. I don't like the way it came about, and I don't like the narrative it's being spewed through.
The narrative
this whole greedy agents have been conspiring to keep commissions high. My personal thought is, if you made me king of the world, one of the first things I would do is say the bar for agents needs to be raised significantly. None of this freaking three classes and a state test. It's like, I would make it much more like a law degree. Maybe not that far, but in that vein. 2 years, 4 years of education in real estate law, in contract negotiations. You better understand a home inspection and construction. You should understand legislation and CC&Rs. That it should be hard, and less people would do it. Because what we have right now is a whole buttload of agents that make 20 to 30 grand a year, barely eking by. And so there's too many of them in the industry, and they're not good, but it's enough that they can survive. Whereas if we had maybe only 40% of the agents we have now, but the ones we had were making good money, and we could weed out the people that weren't that great, realtor would actually mean something positive, instead of I'm wearing a pantsuit with a business card with my arms crossed on my Instagram profile, and that's the value that I'm bringing. So I'm hoping that this shift, like what we're talking about here, moves to where there's more of a profession than what we've had. I just think it's going to be ugly and messy, and I feel bad for all these brokerages that are having to fork over all this money because sellers claim that they were like wrongly taken advantage of, having to pay a buyer agent commission that every one of them willingly decided when they signed that form.
Chose to do. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And people do not care. I mean, generally you do not mind paying for something that where the value exists. So I totally agree. Like, I think that a lot of the root problem goes to that there was not the value. The value wasn't there because the agents suck in a lot of ways. But yeah, what I was going to say is, okay, so we have had really good takes from both of you. Is there anything that we did not talk about that either of you guys would think is relevant?
You know, the point I would add here is who with a broker that agents have chosen up to this point, we were sort of like in a broker wars that I wasn't thrilled about. It's been like a race to the bottom. What broker will charge the least and give the most? And it was just this gross multi-level marketing recruitment funnel of how do I get as many agents to join my brokerage as I can so that I can race to an IPO, everybody gets stock options, and then we let the thing fall apart and the next one jumps in to do the same thing. I think that that was only possible because being an agent was a little too easy. If this is true and it makes it hard, you better pick your broker, your team leader, whoever you get your information from, better be a stud. That better be a person that knows their stuff, practices their stuff, understands the stuff we talked about, human psychology, objection handling, conveying yourself the right way, communicating, being able to have difficult conversations. If you're in one of those rah-rah, we're going to meet every day and just pump each other up with a bunch of useless happiness to go out there and cold call and hope that you can find a buyer that you hope turns into a commission, I think that those people are in trouble.
It's a good point, too. I hadn't thought about the implications of how it'll change small teams and small offices on their growth strategy.
Oh, that's the first thing I thought of, Aaron, because they're all getting leads from places like Zillow, and they're buying them, and then they assign them to a buyer's agent who doesn't have to have the difficult conversation. They just get paid from the seller. I think that model goes away, and that's right. Why you saw Zillow stock drop.
Yeah, it's totally going to change the – like if you're bringing on a new agent, yeah, it used to be like, no, I can have as many agents as I want because it's okay if they only do two or three deals. They're not getting too much out of it. The I gotta share with you for a second my image when I was like, what don't we want to be right now? Right, and this is what when I ChatGPT, I said I need an image of an agent with their head in the sand, right? And this is what people have been saying about the commission agreement, right? ChatGPT is so freaking brilliant the way that it does everything. This is what we've been worrying about. People have been saying, hey, not me. It's not going to happen. This law is not going to be real. Nothing's going to change. And it's changing. And then even the idea of it's going to change the way that people hire people, the agents that people hire, who you work for matters, and your strategy on how you build your team matters. But also whoever does it best is going to make a crap ton of money. Mm-hmm. Like let's say agents get paid less right now. The buyer's agents get paid less right now. Whoever becomes best at the script gets all the deals, gets all the stuff. Whoever becomes the most comfortable and most confident with doing this and like pivoting into this new thing, like money is made during the big conflict, and it excites me a little bit. And then the way that people should be okay with it is like, hey, it's been like this in commercial forever. Been like this in Australia for 10, 15 years. Been like this in Europe forever. US was kind of the last stand. It won't be the last change that happens either in real estate and the way the commissions are. They're not going to stop attacking commissions, right? So the idea of being able to be, nimble is important.
And Great point. On that note, do either of you guys, I know we're running short on time, but do either of you guys have any like life updates or business plugs that you would like the world to know about?
David, what's on your shirt?
Well, thank you there. Yeah, I've got Spartan League. That's a mastermind I run. It's basically a real estate university. So members get 5 calls a week, every day of the week, where we have a different topic. It might be long distance investing, BRRRR, budgeting and mindset. We have a day where real estate agents teach the other agents that are in the group how to sell houses, construction, understanding a home inspection report. Basically, it's a way for anyone with 5 properties or less that wants an education in real estate investing or wants to have a career in real estate profession, like being an agent or a contractor, property manager, can go to learn. We teach on short-term rentals, medium-term rentals. It's the opposite of a niche course. It's sort of like a well-rounded education, so people can learn about that by emailing me or going to spartanleague.com. And I have a real estate accelerator class going on right now with 75 agents to join to learn some of the stuff we're talking about right now. They're getting those scripts, they're getting the information, they're getting taught how not to suck, because most of them, or all of them, have said, my broker doesn't teach me this. What their brokers teach them is how to stay out of legal trouble. Like you just said earlier, Aaron, make sure you get this form signed before you go show that house, because I don't want someone mad at me. That's what brokers do. But agents need somewhere like this where they can learn stuff that's actually going to make them money.
David, you plugged your website, but where do you also want to direct people to follow you?
Instagram, DavidGreen24 is a great way to get a hold of me. They can instant message me there. And then DavidGreen24.com is my main website. Spartan League is the website for the mastermind. Thanks, Shelby.
The awesome David, I'm so glad you're not a cop anymore. And it was crazy to see you and Shelby talking on the podcast a few months ago, and I wasn't on. I felt so left out that you guys did a podcast without me. So I was super glad that we got you on here today to talk about this. You know, we've got our Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind that Shelby led this year. She was the driver behind all of it. It would not have happened without her. The coolest part about our community is it is like a member driven community, and it's not a moneymaker. It is a life changer type thing. We're going to release tickets to the public for next year's in like the next couple weeks. It'll sell out in the first month or two again. So first we're releasing the tickets to people that came last year. We'll be in Austin again next year. And the most excited thing until then is we're going to be trying to teach people with our PropHawk software how to go create listings, how to find people that like need to sell their house, because I think a lot of buyers need to transition to become listings are always going to be king. People are in distress right now and they have equity. So it's a great time to go get them. Somebody's going to go get the listing. It might as well be you. Maybe you can beat them before they know. So prophawk.com is our software, but really just come talk to me on Instagram. Come talk to Shelby on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We love this. We love these topics.
Love it.
Even though we don't love the news.
No.
We love the news that happened. We love reporting on the news. Good or bad.
Oh, right? It is exciting.
Right. Let's just not sit here and stew in our own anxiety. Let's come up with a plan. Let's start working on that plan. Let's eliminate the people that shouldn't have been in the industry in the first place so that realtors can go back to getting a good reputation, and let's turn things around. Personally, it drives me nuts seeing how many of these deals never make it to the MLS. Wholesalers grab them because they're outworking agents with lead generation, and they go find it for themselves. And somebody sells to a wholesaler that could have sold to an agent and got way more money and had no idea how much got left on the table. So I'd love to see agents getting these deals and putting them out there for the public to see where fair market value can be gained, as opposed to people that just have these off-market machines that soak them up before they ever even get to the public. That's what's one of the things that keeps home prices high. Right? There's lack of inventory, so they sell for a ton. But then if you can get to a house that doesn't get to the open market where everybody sees it, you could get a great deal on it.
And those wholesalers are, like you said, they are out working. I talk to agents all the time about lead generation and marketing, and their idea of what a lot is in that realm is 1% of what those wholesalers are out there doing every single day. They are busting their ass, putting money and time and energy, perfecting scripts. Like, They're really freaking doing it. So agents, if you're listening to this, you got to step it up if you want to compete with them.
Great point.
And with that, guys, anything else?
Real estate rock stars.
Yeah, go follow episode. David Green, 24, Aaron Muchastegui. You all follow and listen to him. And then I am The Shelby Show. You guys know that. Hit me up. Let me know if you liked this, if you didn't like this, what topics you want to hear, what speakers you want on, all of the things. And David, Aaron, thank you both for coming on the show today. And Real Estate Rockstars, thanks for listening.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.